Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep playing, lot of sun. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine. Pockets running over with the dollar sign. Try to take it from me.
Welcome to 4th and John, episode 332. I'm Dale Saunders here with Mr. Damn Skippy, a.k.a. Hollis Thomas, and my guy, Mal Davis. How you guys doing today? I mean, it is the calm before the storm. I see fans walking around the city like they have no place to go, but they probably have a job, but they're walking around.
Just aimless.
Aimlessly going to pep rally after pep rally. The only thing they are concerned about is their Eagles at this point. I think it's coming down to the best two teams in the NFC. This is how we want it. You to be the man, you got to beat the man. I think the Eagles have a perfect opportunity to go in. It's their house. They have an opponent that everyone is talking like they are the best team in the NFC, but it'll be handled on Sunday at 3 o'clock. I think we're all excited for this moment. I think I'm geeked up. I'm really, really just I just want to let this game happen. Like, I'm tired of all of the bullshit. I'm tired of all the national media talking about our Eagles when they haven't watched the lick of them. I think we all are respecting what the 49ers are. We just found out that Hollis' brother is a 49er fan. So there's a war in the Thomas family, but it's gonna be on
a problem. It's never been a war. He's been there since we were small kids. But when I play, he was always rooting for his boy.
Is he rooting for you today?
Yeah. Okay. I think he's gone away from the 49ers a little bit because of the full scale mutiny that's been going on over there. But as I told you before we started, that I see a lot of, they're doing a lot of trash talking from the 49ers, and I saw Debo Samuels talking about the noise levels weren't gonna bother him. They crowd was louder than ours. I wore this specifically because the 49ers fan took liberty in taking the scene from the Rocky movie and put Brock Purdy's head on Rocky.
That's a shame, because
you know how they do the face change, and then they had him running through Philly and stuff. I was like they don't know what they're getting themselves into. And I think they've already desecrated the statue with 49ers stuff. So
did they?
I think so. Yeah.
Yo, let them keep cooking, bro. They don't learn. They come to the city. They disrespect the city. Jalen Hurts getting listed as the fourth best quarterback. Sirianni, the fourth best coach. They had one of these idiots was talking about San Francisco has all the top playmakers in the NFC Championship game. This is how I like it, bro. Like, when I play sports and as a fan, definitely too, I love coming into a situation where everybody counting you out. Because when you beat the hell out that other team, you got that big ass smile on your face, bro. You don't gotta talk about nothing, right? You don't gotta talk about a thing. The Philadelphia Eagles have to show up Sunday, beat the hell out the San Francisco 49ers on national television, and one step closer to a Super Bowl, bro. I see a lot of back and forth, people talking to 49er fans, still wolfing with Cowboy fans and Giants fans. I ain't talking to nobody, bro. I'm so focused. Like, I feel like Jalen on the outside. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Jalen Hurts of the fan group, right? Like, we got to just stay locked in. But excited to see this game, bro. This was definitely the matchup I wanted. It was the 49ers for sure. Because last season, when we lost to them, it was so close. And I feel like the 49ers rode that wave for the rest of the season, and the Eagles kind of faltered.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I remember that game as well, too. and that was it was one of the games where I felt like we had control of it, and to a certain point in the game we just start giving up the rhythm and let them get into a rhythm.
Jalen wasn't ready yet, you know.
Yeah.
Jalen hadn't got enough at bats at this thing.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Earth's not going to falter. He's not.
It's going down. All we need is the stage. You
know? Yes, sir.
Now, what's the biggest narrative that you've heard the national media when they're talking about this Eagles 49er matchup that bothers you the most?
That Jalen Hurts is not a good football player.
Yeah, that's the narrative
is that he's a product of the system. It's only the weapons around him. And if he didn't have a stout defense, that Philadelphia would not be a good football team. And like, as a football fan, as an Eagles fan, watching Jalen Hurts, you know that the complete polar opposite is true. Without Jalen Hurts, this team is not where they are right now.
Yep.
So that's my thing. Is like, yo, I hope that's fueling his fire to keep him going.
Because I get sick and tired of us listening to Chris Sims. I don't know what the hell people continue to listen to Chris Sims for.
Carton, Lopsky. It's a bunch of these dudes talking.
You know, at the end of the day, it's like I think just watching Jalen as he continues day in and day out when he has to speak, he's very intentional with his words.
He has calculated.
And he has his mindset made up pre-interview that he's not going to be swayed by or take the rat poison. I think he's been dialed in. Like I said on the last pod, he's borderline MVP and psycho killer Norman Bates. He can walk the line when he needs to walk the line, and when he needs to be that killer, he can be that killer on the field and really just do what he needs to do. I think you know, everyone's concerned that Jalen Hurts. Which Jalen Hurts are we going to see? Is he going to be, when he has to take off a run, will he be do what he has to do? I believe he's going to do whatever it takes to win. How about y'all?
Hurts going to leave everything on that field, bro. He ain't going. Y'all going to have to drag him off if the Eagles lose. Jalen Hurts then got broke up in the middle of that field. There's no way. I was actually thinking about it. It's funny enough because I feel like this Jalen Hurts is probably more dialed in than ever because this is his chance to redeem a lot of the past things that happened to him. Right at Alabama, he got pulled at halftime. They come back and win the national championship. At Oklahoma, has one of the best seasons ever for Oklahoma quarterback. Runs in the LSU in the college football playoffs. They knock him out. Right last year, that Tampa game was horrendous. And so for me, I look at it like this is the redeem team. This is a redemption opportunity for so many people on this team, led by Jalen Hurts. And like, again, I hope that they keep talking about what this team can't do. It's one of the best teams I've watched play football in a very long time. And so I'm just always curious. Tank talks about this a lot. Like, I'm always curious what other people are looking at or paying attention to or watching, because I hear them talk and it's like, what you watch completely different. So
yeah, it's kind of like you said, like when a lot of the teams start talking about not teams, but a lot of the people start talking about Jalen's accuracy, or how he's the fourth quarterback, or the fourth or the fifth quarterback, and how they would still take Brock Purdy. I'm like, what?
Brock
and Purdy. Guys, but then too, I just watched them go to the board and try to break down what we do. How well we run, how well oiled machine that it is, and they still was botching that up. I was like, it was extremely funny to me. So, I don't know. It's simple to me. I guess I got to make sure that everybody else sees what I see. I don't think everybody sees things as I see them. But I have to pull myself back, because I used as much information I used to process in a matter of 10 seconds. I don't think anybody could.
Yeah.
And then sometimes 5 seconds. We used to come against those people who were running the speed stuff, the heavy up stuff. We would have an audible front coverage, and you just have to know the backfield set.
Yeah.
You had to know the backfield set, and that was the call. But you had to bounce the call down so everybody would be on the same page.
Right.
And so when I see stuff, when I see people getting it wrong, I say, that's why you didn't last that long in the NFL. Oh. I don't know what you're talking now for, but I know, I see now why you didn't last in the NFL. So, and then the constant part of them being wrong as hell. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, someone who's right as hell is Todd. He says, I like the new layout.
Yes,
shout out to Johnny Uleka from All About Them Birds. He's the guy that created the new layout. But show him some love. Show him some love. So talking about the coaching staff, I mean, this is another narrative that we're hearing out here. The Niners coaching staff versus the Eagles coaching staff. Is that a narrative that you're, a couple games ago, fans like talking about the Eagles being out coached. Is that something you guys worry about?
I don't. I don't think the players are going to allow it this time. And it's like the personnel. I think we're going to dictate more as far as I think it's like one of those things where you're not going to. Okay, the best way to describe it is everybody know that this is extremely important. You're not gonna get these chances very often with this opportunity with a team like this. So it's time to strike while the iron is hot and put your best foot forward. If he who hesitates masturbates, you can't hold nothing back. It's all on the line, baby. I love Nick Sirianni's analogy. It's like we're trying to come to the mountaintop, but don't look up.
Yeah,
like when I look at this team, I've seen teams before that had this type of talent, but didn't get it. It's like I don't know if you've seen the series called The Missing Rings. Some people looked up at the mountaintop and got knocked off. That's like the 15-1 Minnesota Vikings looked up. I know you remember that team. I didn't think nobody
beat that team. Undefeated Patriots looked up, right? And the Super Bowl got smoked. Yeah. I mean, I think you make a great point, Tank. In the end of the day, it comes down to the players. And like we've been talking about, and I've been saying for weeks, having such a veteran-laden team, especially on defense, to me is so important, right? That like you have guys that first were a part of the 2017 team that wanted a handful of them still around. But then you have dudes like Bradbury that came over, and Dominic and Sue, Linville, Joseph, guys that want to like, yo, this might be it for me. Like my body, I'm old. I'm at the end of this thing. I've done everything I want to do from a statistical accomplishment standpoint. The last piece is this ring. And so I don't see the players allowing themselves to be in a position where they lose this game. I don't think D'Amico Ryan's defense does anything so drastically different that it'll confuse the offense, right? Like, I don't think that's it, that Shanahan, Tank's already talked about it, is window dressing. They run the same five plays over and over. They just move a lot of people in different places. And so it's nothing new under the sun, man, right? It's all about execution. Who's going to execute better? I think the Eagles are a more talented team. And in my opinion, have more motivation. Everybody's told them that they can't do the best team in the NFL. Every single week is told they're going to lose. I've never seen this before, bro. And so I hope that they continue to use this inside the practice facility to motivate themselves to be great. Cause like, yo, this, the level of disrespect is bananas.
Yeah. It's with a capital D, man. You talk about new under the sun. Yeah, the new under the sun would be Brock Purdy, the starting quarterback for the 49ers. You probably heard him been anointed, and he's right next to Tom Brady in some people's heart in the media at this point.
These
players are not the same person, and there is no disrespect because in terms of day three guys making an NFL roster, I root for any day three guy out there that makes a roster. So, I mean, Brock Purdy, for what he's done – this season, you got a hat tip of what he's done. Like, he's come in as a third string quarterback and propelled his team to victories. He's got a bunch of victories that he stacked up. But at the end of the day, when you like, this is where he's coming. He's got to come down from Mars sometime, and Mars could be in the link come Sunday, because there's gonna be a moment,
bro.
I mean, there's going to be a moment. He's going to moment is going to show.
Yeah, this the thing about it is, I'm not really worried about the rookie moment. I think he's well versed in that game. I don't know if you guys saw the game with him and Iowa State versus Oklahoma State. I think the score was like 48-49 when Jalen Hurts was still there, and. It was a good game, but he showed poise. But I think he does I think he does what they need him to do, and he makes quality decisions. But he hasn't been put behind the eight ball yet. He hasn't been put behind up against a good defense, whereas you're behind and you have to score.
Yeah.
Because the other opposing team's offense is going to score. And that's what when me and Matt were just talking, like the Cowboys had him. If Dak doesn't throw those two inexplicable interceptions, the Cowboys had them. And it was just one of those things where quarterback play. He made less mistakes. He's not gonna make a mistake that gets them in trouble unless you force him to. Unless you take away the underneath routes, unless you take away the flat routes. It's like once you null and void that and start hitting his ass, I want to see where he's at then. Because that's adversity. Can he put the 49ers on his back? And we have yet to see that. They've been great as a team, but is he going to be able to put them on his back?
Well, the 49ers took advantage of the Cowboys' rookie corner, right? Like they avoided tossing to the other side of the All-Pro, right, and went at the rookie and exposed them. We don't have that opening, right? Like, we have two great boundary corners, and so that means maybe you have to bump inside. CJ kicks down. He could play slot. Avante Maddox, if he comes back, solidifies that. If he doesn't, still feel good about that personnel group. And so a lot of what the 49ers were able to exploit on offense, like, the Eagles' defense doesn't have those same areas of exploitation. And so, again, I think, you know, it's going to be a heavyweight fight. I don't think the Eagles blow the 49ers out. But after rewatching the Cowboys game again and just looking at all the missed opportunities that the Cowboys had, like Dak turning the ball over in Cowboy territories, it killed them, right? Like at that point, you're giving Brock Purdy short field, you're allowing the 49ers in the second half to run the ball all through the third quarter into the fourth. They wore the Cowboys out, but it was a closer game than it should have been, right? And so, you know, if you eliminate those turnovers, if Jalen can have a clean game, you're gonna walk them. You're gonna dog walk them for four quarters.
And that's moving, man. The one thing that I did that I did notice is people who went up top on them, they gave them problems. Like if you try to do anything around that front seven, the front seven, that's a monster front seven, one of the best in the NFL. They're actually currently number one defensively. They're first defensively. I'm looking at my notes. They're first defensively, but it's like one of those things where it's only the one through ten is only like point something yards apart. So, but they are number one, and they come out and they bring the noise. Especially they stop the run, and they stop all of their short game. But I feel like we'll get to it. I feel like we got better guys than they've seen.
Yeah, the Niners run defense, they're ranked second in rushing yards per game, 79 yards. Rushing attempts per game, they rank number one, 22.9. Rushing yards per attempt, they're at 3.4, which is ranked number two. Rushing first downs per game, they're at 4.6, which is ranked number one. Percentage of runs resulting in first down, it's 19.8.
Yeah.
But Tony Pollard was getting busy before Jimmy Ward hit him, before he jumped down and landed on that man's leg. Like, let's keep it funky. You know, Zeke couldn't do it because Zeke is washed at this point. But Tony Pollard was getting right. And so, you know, I feel good about what Miles Sanders, what Kenny G might be able to do, because those are those more slashing, if they get a hold, they could take it kind of guys. You know, like Tank said, their front seven is going to be tough. But what are they, 22nd against the pass? Right. And so, you know, when you're looking at big play guys, CeeDee Lamb chewed them last week. And so you look at A.J. Brown, you have Goddard in the middle. You know, we got Smitty. Like, you have talent. You got horses, man. And so, Jalen, take what the 49ers give you, marching downfield. And their red zone defense is not as good as their total defense. The numbers kind of flip in the red zone. And so just be meticulous, punch that ball into that end zone. 3 points don't win football games, man. We got to score six when we get the opportunity.
Exactly. Got to put six on the board. Actually, seven, we have a good kicker.
Right, exactly.
now playing coach, like you're, like if you're going to flip, sides and you're the defensive coach, D'Amico Ryans, are you going, where are you attacking this Eagles defense?
I'm blitzing.
I mean, this Eagles offense.
I'm blitzing the hell out of Jalen. Okay. I'm sending different looks at Jalen pretty much all game long, dude. You're going to have to chew us.
Well, yeah, it's the funny thing, too, is I don't know if I'm blitzing or if I'm zone blitzing.
Because I mean,
the zone pressure up, because, right? because he's not a slouch and he's pretty fleet of foot. Uh-huh. So if he gets out there on you and he puts you on notice, and you think he's going to get tired, get ready. And if you blitz him, are your corners good enough to hold up 1-on-1 against our receivers? That's the other thing you got to think of, is they're shady on the outside. They'll jump to routes, but we got some corners that we got some receivers that will go get the ball. Like AJ Brown, I'm on a slant route. I'm taking him every time versus the Javius Ward and the other kid. What's the other kid named? His first name is Demiano or something like that. Lamorne. But he turned out to be a pretty good corner this year. But they get people be putting him on notice.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the zone – it's funny that you say that, right, because the reason I didn't say the zone blitz is because of what you said, the fact that the Eagles have guys that could get behind them. And so I'll be worried about dudes getting themselves lost in space, whereas if I'm man blitzing, at least you know who you're responsible for, right? And so if we get home, we get home. If we don't, we cook either way. But, I mean, that for me is how I would approach Jalen Hurts. Like, yeah, I'm going to force you to beat me with your arm.
Yeah,
knowing Jalen Hurts can beat you with his arm, and so I feel like either way it's a losing proposition. But I'm not gonna let him just beat us with cover two, cover three. It's like I'm not just gonna let you dink and dunk.
I think they're gonna be in a lot of man defenses because that's just the way he does it. Even though that they were getting torched on some of the plays, even go back to the San Francisco game, the Seattle game. Uh-huh. They went ahead number seven on the
cooking them too.
Yeah, toast. You have to come on with the come on because that's what they run. Yeah. I don't think he's going to make any concessions. I think it's going to stay man and cover two and the two shell. But you still have to watch out for Troy Polamalu, who's the cousin.
Yeah,
on alert. Like they said, they safeties. Cool. Safeties are forced, both of them are forced to be reckoned with.
Absolutely.
But where they lack stability is both corner positions because they get beat over the top a lot.
Yeah. Well, and Gibson likes to get in the box too, right? Like same with Hufanga. And so I'm looking at double moves. I'm looking at pumps and see if we could get behind them. I want to see if I can get you bit down on the play action. I think the play action coming out of those RPOs could be Jalen's best friend to start off early, right? To like get San Fran. If you get San Fran off, if you get them on their heels, you could run them out the building, bro. It's going to depend on how we start that first quarter off, man. You got to get them and hit them.
Yeah, I think we're going to start out with tempo and to catch them off guard, catch them in a personnel that we like and they don't. Yep. And it's exactly. And that's why like last week I was happy that the whole band is back. That's what I was saying. Yep. We got all of our weapons offensively. Yep. Yeah. So the boys are back in town, so they can't make concessions for anything. So it's mono with mono. Let's see what happens. AJ Brown
was pissed off. This is the squeaky wheel. He's about to go for like 152 touchdowns. You know how this goes. We know how this goes.
I think like last week you saw them set the tone like early. I love to see them set the tone early and really have Mobb Deep playing Shook Ones in the back. I want them to feel like we could either run on you or we could pass on you. Like if we get them on their heels. They got that pass rush. We all know about the pass rush. But can we run on them? And I really think, this offensive line, they can do work in the run game, man. They, there's that guy named Chip. You're going to see a lot of Chip.
Brandon Graham is hilarious.
A lot of Chip.
Right.
who made that? The person who made that real famous was Larry Center. I don't know if you remember Larry, the ultra. You remember the ultra back number 37 for the Arizona Cardinals. He was a fullback, but he also was an ultra back. He caught passes and he put you on notice. But he made the chip. To me, he made the chip famous. Go look at if you pull up the video of him chipping people. He put like once he chipped you as D lineman, you were on notice. You were coming up the field, looking around the offensive tackle, like, is he coming?
Right.
It's like he was chipping people so bad that Indy Kalu developed the move off of it. He would come up. He would know the chip was coming. He would come upfield, and when he chip him, he would spin back to the inside. Uh-huh. That's the only way you get away from it. Because I've seen him knock some guys off their feet with the chip.
Now, Bob from Down Under says Fred Warner is my biggest concern. If y'all remember back in the day, pre-draft, Fred Warner was my guy.
We was on Fred, bro. I was very upset.
I still am upset. Any Madden season I get, I start with a trade for Fred Warner. just because. But, you know, Fred Warner is a player that can really he's a versatile dude. Like, he's a guy that is athletic. I think Fred Warner is one of their players. You got a hat tip, man.
Mm-hmm. And Greenway. Greenway
is very good.
Well, you know,
their linebacker was stanky.
I think that's where they got us. If they talk about head-to-head, like, where do they have us? You know, their linebackers are no joke, dude.
Yeah, the only – one of the things defensively is, like, us defensively is George Kittle. And, you know, Debo, I'm not really worried about Debo Samuels or number 11. I feel like our secondary can handle them. And but George Kittle, he's on another level of tight ends. I'm sorry. You see him, and you see what he does. We need CJ to step up.
And so for me, this is why you about to pay CJ big bucks. This right here is you coming in. He's a dog the same way that Kittle, because Kittle is a psychopath, bro. Like, on that football field, Kittle is out of his mind. And so he'll do everything and anything to make a play. And so in the end of the day, yeah, I think CJ does a good job. I think TJ Edwards makes it tough on him in the middle of the field. You still have some horses. Hassan Reddick, for, you know, as much as he gets the accolades as a pass rusher, I mean, he's decent in pass coverage as well. And so, you know, I'm not putting him on George Kittle one-on-one, but I'm saying dropping him underneath. And so the bracket coverage is right. Like, I want to see how creative they get, because to your point, you got to stop. It starts with stopping Kittle in that passing game for me.
To me, a bracket coverage would be a linebacker and a DB. I'm trying to put pressure on the quarterback to make him make that throw now.
So you're not dropping Reddick in coverage this week?
Hell no.
No Reddick dropping in coverage. You know that shit is going to happen.
Let me stop.
Robert Quinn was in coverage. I was cracking up because he did good.
Oh, baby.
Oh, man. I'm like,
he had 18 sacks last year, and we dropping him.
Hey, you know, Gannon going to drop him, bro.
Yeah. It's his blood. one of my esteemed colleagues, Katie. Hey, Katie. Katie sent me the interview where Nick Sirianni was giving him shine. Talking about he's a genius.
he was on WIP. Gave 16 reasons why. That was interesting.
But he still won't get on there and say why at one point last year he pulled him in the office and chewed his ass out about the way the defense was being deployed.
Can we just stop for a second? You don't need 16 reasons to prove that somebody's a genius.
He gave stats.
I was gonna say
16, like where they were ranked, like he was just throwing out numbers.
He's just throwing out numbers.
I mean, it's an improvement, but so is the personnel, right? Like, I'm giving the hat to Howie Roseman before I'm giving it to Jonathan Gannon. You better have done this with these players, right? Like, imagine if this team was in the back third on defense and total yards and efficiency. And he would have got fired in the middle of the season. Like, I think people have such a low bar of expectation. Like, he has horses, bro. I expect this outcome.
But not only that, when we lost one of our main horses, we went and got two other horses that everybody keeps talking about. They was off the street. No, those two dudes they was waiting on teams to rise to the top so they can get with a team that's a winner. Once you get to a certain age, and you made that big paycheck, you want to fucking win.
You're a mercenary, bro.
Yeah, you're a mercenary.
Some rings, yep.
because Dominguez Sue all those years in Detroit, then he finally got to win with Tampa Bay, but he went to the Super Bowl with the Rams. But you look at it, I saw him on NFL Network, and they was like, "Are you retired?" He's like, "No, nah, I'm just." He's like, "It's a couple of teams on my radar that, and I knew the Eagles was up there high on his list. He wanted to come here." And Linval Joseph, another guy who knows that in the playoffs, you need to be able to stop the run due to weather like we're going to have on Sunday, and we playing against a rookie quarterback, so you know they're going to try to run the ball down our throat.
I want to see Purdy, like, when he tends to extend plays, so like he'll roll out. But this is where I'm trying to speak it into existence. And if Hassan Reddick lights him up, I will run across that field naked on that exactly, because that I've been picturing Hassan lighting him up when he tries to spin out of something and gets lit up. I mean, that's really,
bro, I'm gonna be honest. It's Hassan. This right here, that 15-yard, because what you see him do, he keeps sneaking. He rolls to the left. He's going to roll to the left, cross body, try to get it to Ayuk or somebody. Slate jumping that shit to the house, son. Yeah. Watch the whole link jump out the way. We're going to jump out the building.
Dude, the place is going to erupt.
I'm telling you, bro. It's been set up. It's a montage right now that's like a minute and a half of Brock Purdy, like, interceptable passes. Yo, and so much of it is the same things. It's post-recognition, right? He sees the zone, but he doesn't realize that one of these safeties is shooting across. He doesn't realize that somebody is playing that flat, puts it there. He don't got the arm. He's not going to just rocket that joint in there. I'm telling you.
It's not going to rocket in there, mainly because it's going to coming across his body. And that's a no-no.
We need to fire up that robber, man. Like, that's when he's thinking someone's there, you know, he's got a little intermediate zone. Robber? Just that's where we trick his little ass.
I see CJ getting it.
CJ, Slay, Bradbury, Epps. I want to see Epps grab something and go crazy, you know?
I want to see
Reed Blankenship and shit.
Like, I want to see Reed pick one and take it to the house.
Yo, okay. You know how stupid the link would go if Reed Blankenship catch something? And the fact that we have Reed Blankenship is an indictment on the scouting community. The fact he fell as far as he did with the game tape that he had, the accolades he had in college, and then how he just was like, "Here, it's easy." And now look at him.
You know what the funny thing is? Brock Purdy was drafted, and it's funny because you know he beat out Nate Sudfeld. They had gave Nate Sudfeld some money to come. They gave him some a nice chunky signing bonus where you will feel comfortable. You feel comfortable as a player when they give you a couple million.
Yeah.
And the signing bonus, that's money they can't recoup.
Right.
But then they keep the Mr. Irrelevant because he outdid you. It says a lot, and it says a lot about the. That's why we used to talk about the what it says about the scouting department. Remember, I was undrafted.
I'm telling you, man.
Hey, you got a meal I can borrow, by the way.
Say what?
You got a meal I can hold for a week?
Nah, man, I ain't gonna give you that. Give me a meal.
Come on.
shout out to Kathy. If you're at the stadium. Check out Kathy. She's working hard.
That's my girl, Kathy.
Yeah, shout out to Kathy, man. A lot of the Eagles employees, man, on game day, they get you hype. You walk through, they're all giving you high fives, giving you shout outs. So shout out to Kathy.
Yes, Kathy, yeah.
I heard B Doc is gonna be with WIP.
90K. I don't really fuck with them because
Yeah, but I saw Glenn Mack now say something that Mack
he might be doing something with them for pregame or something. I actually just talked to him today. We make sure we check up on we were draft class buddies. We same draft class, so we always check up on each other, make sure we good and stuff, and go over he was telling me one of the guys that he played with in Denver had a stroke at the age of 35. He's like, "Make sure we take it. Just make sure we check up on one another."
Yeah.
And I told him Fred X was looking for him.
Oh, was he?
No, he really wasn't. I just was teasing him. Because you know when Freddie first came and he was that first round pick, he was talking trash to everybody. And he was talking trash to a lot of cats. He even had the nerve to talk trash to Troy Vincent. And Troy Vincent doesn't really talk trash. He got so much on his skin. Troy said, I guarantee you I will be in the league after you, after you're out. And he was too.
Oh yeah.
Brady only lasted four years or five years. And Troy was Troy went on to play.
Troy was one of the best to ever do that.
Yes, he played for Buffalo and the then Redskins. He played for the Redskins for a couple of years, and then he went on to play. We went to Buffalo and played safety for a couple of years. Fred X said he got blackballed at Kansas City when he went there where Herman Moore was there.
Shout out to Romy Rome in the house. He said I'll be there working as well. I'll try to swing by the tailgate beforehand. Yes, if you guys are around and you want a tailgate, last week's tailgate was insane. I'm still recovering from that tailgate. We will be out there. We'll be dropping information shortly. We'll be in G2. But also another announcement. We will be heading back to Good Day, Philadelphia, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., holding it down, talking about the Eagles. They will be having a pep rally from 6 to 10 a.m. If you'd like to check us out, maybe someone DVR. I still haven't seen last week's.
I got no DVR if you need it.
Yeah, I mean, someone send it to me.
everybody was sending me pictures of my. They was like, are you on TV? I was like, well, you just took my picture. You know I'm on TV. Fuck.
Hollis is out there, traps and all.
I'm just saying, I have the 4th of John little Jeff show, you know.
Nice.
Strictly representing, you know. But watching Alex Holly fall was some of the funniest shit known to man.
I took the camera angle from behind, and when she fell, I was like, "You want to see the instant replay?" And she was like, "Oh my god!" You know, like,
it was just funny though, because it was like they had brought these segues into the studio when I was working with WIP. And they was teaching Angelo how to ride one. Mm-hmm. And Cindy Webster was kind of like in the way. And if you can see the look on his face, he looked like he wanted to go run her over. But as he was doing it, it was a segue. And remember, they were teaching him how to ride. He fell so slow. But if you can see the look on his face, he was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get somebody. But when that happens, it always looks like it's in slow motion.
I'm gonna bring up a question. I'm gonna bring it up to the chat as well. So if you guys want to chime in, which Eagle player needs to have the best game of his life this weekend?
I'm gonna say Jalen Hurts. Just to put these clowns on notice.
Okay,
this is how it's gonna be.
I'm gonna say Jordan Mailata, just because I'm gonna say Jordan Mailata, Lane Johnson split. Because if you take Bosa out this game, 49ers ain't got a chance. I think that they're going to try to run Bosa a lot towards Mailata because I think Lane Johnson is a push. So whoever that tackle is that got Bosa on him, if you do your damn job, bro, this is going to be – it's going to be a whole lot easier.
Now, the chat says Don. Shout out to Mike Jordan. I'm going to piggyback off that. I like, you know, you got Nick Bosa in the house. I think Jordan is going to have a solid game.
But hold on. Let me play devil's advocate about that. Mm-hmm. I think the entire offensive line is going to have to be put on notice, because hear me out. When I know D'Amico Ryans, and I know he's from the old school of picking out the weakest link. Trust me, Joey Bosa is going to be lined up and down that line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Hey man, it's Eric Armstead, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes they will be lined up next to each other to put people on notice.
Yeah.
And then so you can't double team them. So I think it's going to be our whole offensive line is going to be put to task.
I mean, I don't know that he's going to beat up on Seumalo like that either. The Eagles' offensive line is a better unit, clearly, than the Cowboys' line is, right? And so, again, how the 49ers did a great job of finding the weakest links on the Cowboys and exploiting the hell out of it. Who's our weakest link, yo? Like, honestly, my question is, who's our weakest link?
We really don't have a weakest link right now. But actually, to me, it would be Seumalo up the gut. It's one of those things where that's why I said when they're ready to rush, and they put Joey Bosa on a specific side, they're going to have Eric Armstead travel with him specifically, so you cannot double team them, and they're going to have some other stuff on the other side to where if you do make that type of concession, they're going to make us pay.
Yeah, for sure. But Isaac Seumalo had an above average year as an offensive lineman, right? And so it's not like we're picking on somebody that is a below average guard. Like, yeah, we talk a lot of shit about him on the lead up to the season, but Seumalo has more than proved his worth this year. So,
again, speaking out the weakest link,
like, yeah. Yo,
actually, you're correct, because
again, like, I don't know where you look.
You're kind of correct because this is one of the years. It's like when we don't have to call out an offensive lineman's name because nobody's getting that type of push
like that, right?
And it's like because I was used to seeing him get a push back to the QB, and right. Hasn't been like that this year. I do feel like he's starting to come around. So
yeah, and I mean he got hurt last year, but in the snaps that he had before the injury, he had an above average year, right? And so it's always been him being able to stay on the field. He's given us those extended looks. If we stay healthy in this game, you know, I don't want to be a homer, but I think the Eagles are the best team in the NFL this year. So I'm like, yo, stay locked in, stay focused. Jalen Hurts, do your job. Just do your job. That's all. You don't got to be a superhero. You don't got to put your cape on. When your number's called, make the play, and let's keep moving forward, bro.
I mean, the other thing, I saw a lot of AJ Brown in there, like in terms of, you know, the way that their cornerbacks are set up. I really do think that play strength that we've seen throughout the season has showed up, man. Like that, you know, AJ Brown will put a hip on you and then put a slight hand on you, and then the DB's like 5 yards away. You know, like
I think the one thing that I even when talking to my brother say, if you get, we have to go over that, we have to put them on notice that we are going to go deep and we are going to put those cornerbacks under pressure. If you look at the way Seattle played them and other teams that put their defense on notice, they've been in the mix because that their DBs, like they used to, the Ward used to be the one that they went away from. Not Seattle. Seattle went at Ward. Yeah. So everybody trying to say the other guy is good. To me, it's kind of like one of those situations. You remember when Nabi Austin, while I was in Oakland?
Yep.
And nobody really would throw at him?
Yep.
And so you never knew how horrible he was until he came here and got paid? It's kind of one of those situations. So if nobody throws at you, nobody ever knows how bad you are.
I mean, Devontae Smith, man, like.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
CB2 checking Devontae Smith. Again, that's an advantage. I think the way that they have been playing lights out, like you could go either or. Either or, those guys are going to eat. So I feel like that's where we need to attack that defense. Any other areas you guys want to highlight?
Special teams,
defensively, I was going to say, but see, here, you know, I'm ready to do my pitches, baby.
Hold on, let me get you a little fancy graphic.
No south, baby.
If y'all new here, Hollis does a series called Hollis's Pigeons, where he, what happened to that boy?
That's that bird talk. Let's go.
So let us know what pigeons you got on deck for this week for the NFC Championship.
So the pigeons from this week are in the left guard, Aaron Banks. Aaron Banks is like, I think once it's the second year. Their interior guys, they're both of their guards are second year guards, especially the kid Burford was he was highly penalized for holding and pre-snap penalties this past season. And he's a rookie. And I want to say he's out of Texas, San Antonio. UTEP or something
UTSA,
like that.
Yeah,
UTSA. Yeah, that's where he's from. I was like, but and getting him, he's had a lot of trouble with holding calls, especially on the run blocks and stuff. So a lot of times when they drive, he gets stalled. Kind of, if you go back and look at any of the film, you'll see him getting he'll get a holding call, or he might false start. And the other guard is Aaron Banks. He's a second year guy, and it's like they're trying to build some continuity in there because they have like a ninth year center. Their center is good. He's a really good center. But the two guys on the side of him kind of make him below average, because I don't know if you remember when Kelsey was having all the problems because he had the two guys he had next to him were young, and he had to make sure they knew what they were doing. It's kind of like one of those situations. Now they have the kid Mike McGlinchey. Yes, yeah, he's from up this way.
Mm-hmm.
Now
put that boy
up on states. Yeah, it's like when you. But I feel like to ease the pitcher more this week, because I think he's going to be trying to do good in front of his people.
The biggest pigeon of them all.
Well, yeah.
He's the guy.
Yeah, he's the guy to go to. Now, the other guy, Trent Williams.
Trent Williams.
Yeah, that's for them, sure. Now, defensively, we've already talked about the pigeons. It's Ward and Lenore, the DBs. Mm. If you look at their defense from top to bottom, they have the beastly front seven, and their safeties are killers. But when you look at it, a lot of times when they go on man-to-man, those guys on the outside get beat over the top and on deep comeback routes and on the double moves.
That's the one.
Yeah, so.
I want that double move versus Lenore to open that game up. I'm telling you, he's going to bite, bro. He's going to bite.
Yeah. And then a lot of times people call them gamblers. It's just a nice way of saying pitchers. That's what I got for you, baby.
Very nice, man. Yes, very nice. I'm trying to think. The one thing that I've noticed about this, Kyle Shanahan, it's like he got them guys moving around. There's a lot of, it's a lot of discipline.
Lot of
there. So this defense has to, be contained and be disciplined.
It's like the defense has to do. And it's like when you go against a team that only runs a few plays, that's their bread and butter. It's kind of like when we used to going against like a Joe Gibbs team. Joe Gibbs ran only like three or four run plays, but he would have run motion and all these different types of things. Like he starts to tight end like out there somewhere, bring it back in, then motion him. And it's like all those bells and whistles, they're going to run the same play. They're just trying to get your attention somewhere else and get you to thinking that they're going to do something else. So it's
– Well, and it's like what you said, right? You get those 5 seconds when you see that play. When you see that guard take that step, when you see that tackle open up, right? When you see that wide receiver take that first step and make that cut, you got to be up. That's what all the film study is about. What did y'all do all week? What was your practices about? What did y'all talk about in y'all individual team? In y'all position sessions? And so, for me, again, we talked about like coaches versus coaches. Like it's a push. I think we have a good offensive staff, good defensive staff on both teams. Again, it comes down to execution. It always comes down to execution. It's a game of execution. Who executes better? We all run the same shit, right? You go to what works. And so, at the end of the day, who runs it better, and then who makes that big play? Who's that Brandon Graham strip sack? Who's that Alshon Jeffrey deep pass when we need it the most, right? Like, who's that? Who's the Corey Clement clutch catch in the back of the end zone? Like, those are the plays that sort of lift you over the top. You can't predict that shit because a lot of times it's the person that you least expect. But in the end of the day, man, this team is poised for this, right? Like, are we surprised that they're here? Nah. Yeah. I would be very surprised if they lose this game because they have the better team, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we have the better crowd too. Again with this pre-snap motion and a lot of moving around. We got to be loud. You fans in the crowd, you got to be loud. You could go back and listen to Gannon. Yes. Gannon came in that NFC Championship. He was with the Vikings. He said he couldn't believe the loudness of the stadium. He said he'd never seen anything like it. Right. That Meek Mill came on.
Right.
That place went nuts and didn't quiet. They were loud the whole game. I feel like, as long as they can't communicate like they want to, that's also an advantage.
Especially with a rookie quarterback, right?
And the fact that
they're going to give Purdy chances to make plays.
Exactly.
The defense is going to be set up. Yo, y'all are ready because they trust this kid. They think he's the truth. They think he's the guy that's going to get them where they're trying to go. Yeah. Everything is set up for the Eagles to dog walk these fools for four quarters.
Exactly. I think it's set up for us to dog walk them from the word go.
Yeah.
Put them on notice.
100%.
Yeah, I mean, we know how many teams that we've, people will go back and look at games that we've, the Eagles have lost.
And the common opponents.
You know, like, bro, at the end of the day, like, I do think this is a good matchup. I think, you know, we went this whole podcast without talking about McCaffrey. Yes, McCaffrey, I think he's a solid running back. I think.
But he's currently injured.
He's dealing with McCaffrey.
Have the same pop. Like I feel like McCaffrey's pop, you know, before his 400 touch season versus the McCaffrey now, it ain't the same player. I'm not worried about him the same way I was 4 years ago, right? Like right now, hey, he's a very good running back, but he's not that multi-purpose weapon that could just blow the roof off from anywhere.
George Kittle.
I'm more worried about George Kittle.
Because Debo Samuel is also both of those. Debo and McCaffrey are both like slightly injured, so I'm less worried about them because we're not gonna get the full dose of them. But George Kittle, we are going to get the full dose of this young man.
Facts.
And do not underestimate you, Jack.
Facts.
Not unless they
you check. Juszczyk is a beast too.
Yeah, I like the, you know, I like what they do. They got a lot of movable pieces, so I think they, you know, the trickery and the pre-snap. They get cute with it. But
I was about to say because look for within the first 20 plays, there's going to be one or two trick plays. There's going to be a bunch of misdirections. Look for number 11 to get like the legit sweep runs and stuff. They're gonna mix it up the first 14 to 15 plays are scripted, so it's plays that they rarely run. So they're gonna try to come out a little up tempo to try to get some points on the board fast. But every good team does that though.
Yeah.
So it's up to our defense to be on notice. If we get that first three and out or some type of turnover in that first drive of theirs.
Now, Mike makes the most sense with this. It's like some Eagle fans, if this is your first time in Link, offense has the ball, shut up, please.
Shut the hell up. Yeah.
Offense at work. You see the sign.
And the fact that and this is a perfect opportunity for these dumbass 49er fans to see that they ain't come in and take over shit. Are you crazy? Name one fan base that ever came to Philadelphia and took over the home stadium. That shit don't happen. Are you stupid? Do you know what city this is, bro? Do you know how hard we go for this?
Tell them where you from.
Come on, it's a Philly thing, son. Don't get this shit confused. And don't come to the city and get fucked up and then blame us for being fucked up people because you brought bad energy to the city of Philadelphia. Come here, be humble, enjoy the game. Exactly. Don't talk stupid. You be all right. But like, yo, bro, you get all these people that descend on this city like Philadelphia has ever been a city to play with. Don't come here with that shit.
My boy Tony from Scotland is still here. The one I told you came from Scotland. He said he's not leaving till the time of his life. Yeah, he's not. He sent his wife and daughter back yesterday. He's staying here till Wednesday. And then he's going back to Scotland. He said, when we win, he's coming to Arizona. I'm about to introduce y'all to my boy Tony. Tony, he's a cool guy. Him and my boy Ian, they both from Scotland, so.
Now Perk says, y'all crazy if you think we ain't going. Nobody's scared, y'all motherfuckers weak ass. Is he a 49er fan or is he?
I don't know. It's like I don't. I'm being the grammar police.
I don't know.
Deep as apologies, Perk dog.
Someone says the Santa Clara Niners. Shout out to the McCabes in the building. Your daughter was at the tailgate. Having a good time. I made sure she was good. No, her daughter was at the tailgate.
It's just the way it sounded. I'm just saying, my head was down, and I just heard your daughter was at the tailgate. I took good care of her. Because
that's what we do at the 4th of John Taylor. We take care of people. Shout out to Hollywood Hearn
and Primo,
Mr. Alex in the Village, the Juggernaut.
Not Primo. Primo's our bowler.
Primo's out bowling. So like, if y'all concerned about it, like Evan is working, Prime is bowling.
And we're right here, baby.
And we're right here.
Word, baby.
So Elias says he has the Eagles by 6. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I've been saying 28-10 this whole time. I think the Eagles close at halftime, 16-10, something at halftime, and then they come out and beat the brakes off them boys.
I've been predicting a throttling. I don't know what the score is going to be, but I think due to all the all the disrespect, a lot of it, some of it's going to come out like the guy's going to put their head down. I think they're going to whoop him like cornbread batter. I think the score may not be indicative of the ass whooping that we put on them.
Yeah.
So that's why I was like, unlike the Giants, I feel like the 49ers have some pride. So I think it'd be like 31-17. I think they'll score that last, that proverbial touchdown when, you know, it doesn't really count. And then, you know, when the celebration starts. It's like, but when you look at it, it's gonna be a hard fought game because you have good coaches and you have basically two really good teams on both sides. I feel like we're the better team. Personally, I feel like we're the better team, and it's not just being a homer. But they have a third string quarterback. They have glitches in the matrix as far as on the offensive line and the corner position. And when you look at it, our front office has put together a quality roster. Like one of the first times in a long time,
yeah.
And when guys got injured, we went out and got guys who are quality guys, not just random motherfuckers. Because I've been on a team where they bring in somebody and they'd be like, "Oh, his specialty is pass rush." You'd be like, "Seriously?" He's like, "He didn't even get off the line of scrimmage on third down." But hey, that's just old school though. It's like, but when you look at it, we were able to go get good. You look at our depth. Our depth are not slouches, especially on the defensive line. And if you want to know who my MVP defensively is going to be the defensive line, because you're going to send those guys at them in waves. We have yet to see anything like this, Perk Dog.
I think you lost, my boy. Like you barking up the whole wrong tree. You in here writing in all caps. Yo, I'm looking at your profile picture. You look like you in your 30s, dog. So you look like you too old for this dumb shit. So what you in here talking about, my boy? And you ain't put up no stats. You just yelling and shit like a child, bro. What you over here for?
Are you outside of the club?
Is he yelling at us because he got everything is a cap? When I did that, everybody was yelling.
Outside, can you want to sing it with me? Outside of the club, and you think we some punks? We ain't never scared.
I told him, motherfucker.
Hey man, like, hey Perk Dog, the link is gonna be rocking. I think this
gonna be jumping, boy.
The energy levels is gonna be insane. I think Perk Dog, you got to come to the link to see how non-scared this crowd is gonna be.
For personal experience, both on the field and off the field, this is some shit like you've never seen before, young man. The best way I can describe it is a taste sensation of biting into a York peppermint patty while on top of a mountain.
While on top of a mountain.
Yeah.
That's
like, there's no other way to describe it, dude. Both being on the field with the NFT championship victory and being in the audience, kicking it with going shot for shot with Charles Barkley.
Donnie says, "Perk Dog off of Perk. Boy, you crazy? Go sit down."
Clearly, that boy in them 30s, man. That's why look. He figured out how to wear caps lock now. Look. Now, Perk Dog, calm it down. Sorry, Perk.
Okay, you
could have came to us like this, and we could have had a conversation. You came
contact, man. he got the Seth Joyner caps lock on. Seth be speaking in all caps.
Oh yeah.
Seth is just intense, but he don't be yelling and stuff.
Are you kidding me?
He's intense.
Are you kidding me, dog? man. Listen. You know what else is intense?
What's that?
This trip coming up to Arizona part 2 trip. Philly Sports Trips doing the damn thing. Like, they got to prepare. Again, we speak a lot of things into existence out here.
Yes.
The Birds Ultimate Trip out here, February 10th to 13th. Make sure if you would like to book with them, you can find their information at phillysportstrips.com. Make sure to follow them at Sports Trips PHL for more information if you would like to go to the Super Bowl. Again, we speak things to existence on this podcast. So make sure you go on that trip. Big Tank will be there on the plane. You know, snakes on the damn plane. Tank will be on the damn plane.
You know it's going down now. We need the stage.
Yeah. Yo, I've been with Philly Sports Trips though, man.
They bro. You like to fly?
That's cool. I know you don't.
You don't like to fly?
I enjoy flying a little bit. It's like it's cool.
I get on. Yeah, I smoke a joint and fucking get deep in prayer, nigga, and hope I land.
This guy over here, he be sitting up in first class, all the leg room in the world.
Hey, I'm a big dog, man. I can when it's available,
and it's available.
Because sometimes you go to purchase a ticket and it's already gone. It's like, so you got to pick and choose when you go some places. You know, I like to go when everybody else is at work. It's like, but it's a great time. But I will be, you know where I'll be at? I'll be at the Mud Hen, and down at the Mud Hen Brewery on the coast, 98.7, 3 hours before the game, and then watching the game with a couple of Hero Boys, that beer I was telling you about. It's only seasonal. I'm trying to get up to call it the Tank because it's so damn delicious. And it's got it with a whisper of cinnamon. Just think about that. The highest alcohol content that you can have in an IPA with a whisper of cinnamon.
Sounds delicious.
Sounds tender and delicious. And then don't forget also, my boy Drew is watching us, Philly Sports Shirts. Remember, it's in capital letters. If you go on there, my name Hollis gets you a 10% discount on a damn Skippy t-shirt and whatever else you buy.
Well, Darren G says, how many sacks do you think we get this game? I'm saying Sweat and Reddick get two each. That's four. I'm gonna go six.
I was gonna say seven.
Okay.
I was gonna say seven, mainly because I think he's like Mal said, I think that we're gonna do something. I think we can do something coverage wise to stump him and to make him drift back.
I'm going two. I think they get a shit ton of pressures and hits on him, though. Like, I think Purdy has – he's going to be lumped up at the end of this game. I don't know how many times you get him down because he's a relatively smart dude. He knows to throw the rock away. But I think those hits add up. And once you get into that third and fourth quarter, that's when you get that Slade pick six. That's when you get that Blankenship pick six, you know, put them boys away.
Now, Pete is saying, how do y'all stop Fred Warner in the red zone?
Go right at him.
Run right up to him.
I'm not knocking him, but he's fast, so that's cool on zone plays. But running right at him or doing what you have to make concessions for him. So I'm interested to see the concessions they're gonna make for him on the run through, because I don't think he's gonna be like the linebackers from the Giants that didn't run through on those type of plays.
Well, and the Eagles did a good job. I mean, you know, I don't want to keep bringing up last year because it's a different team, you know, different, like, comfortability with the system, A.J. Brown. But the Eagles did a relatively good job of going at the 49ers defense, of going at Fred Warner, right? Like, Fred Warner isn't the reason they won that game. Just collectively, they played better. And so I think you go at anybody, right? Like, I think the concessions is a good point. But you don't duck smoke. Because as soon as you start getting fancy trying to run away from people, that's when they start disrupting your game before the shit even started.
Yeah. That's another thing, too, we have to do what we do best. You don't make concessions for people. You dictate, you don't take dick. But you think? I thought we were in a circle of trust.
Darren G says, how do you
think
we cover Kittle to keep that beast from getting free?
Just like Mal said, the bracket, you got to bracket his ass.
Yeah.
And Mal, I took what you said, and I took it like this. I was like, I don't think you bracket him. I think you jam him on the line, and then Paul's young, but you jam him on the line and disrupt the chemistry. You just disrupt the chemistry, and but then you kind of drop somebody underneath him. And then it's like, it's one of those things where you kind of, because Purdy hasn't really run yet, you kind of drop somebody underneath him and follow Purdy's eyes. Because he's not, if we got our safeties deep, he's not going to try as deep. So, but he's going to try some of those underneath and over routes. And you, if you got that robber there, it's going to make for some quality pull ball there.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, let's call out our MVPs. I don't think Pete in the chat's like, I don't want to talk about speaking in things into existence. That's what we do over here.
Yes, sir.
That's what we do over here. We don't talk negatively going to big games.
I know. If you're scared, call the police.
I know. Go to church, who's going to be your offensive MVP of the game? We'll go with Mal first.
Yo, I'm going. My man, Miles Sanders, 150 total yards of offense, 2 total touchdowns. We end up going right at that 49ers defense. He plays a big role in us being able to take this to the next stage, baby.
Miles Sanders, okay.
Yes, sir.
Big Tank, who you got?
I'm going A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown was a little pissed last week. I think they're going to go to him early and often, especially with what I said about the DBs. If you don't put the DBs on notice, there won't be any pressure on the rest of the offense. If you put them on notice, then what's open? The run game.
Yep.
You put them on notice, then the run game is open. I think we lash out at them early and run some quick game. And AJ, I feel like AJ Brown is going to be my offensive MVP. But I'm not changing AJ Brown.
Todd,
Todd's going Devontae and Jalen as offensive MVPs. Pete with his man, shut your mouth, Gail. If y'all remember last time I spoke things into existence, y'all motherfuckers were crying on Broad Street. Okay.
yo, the tears. I probably said less tears now because we already got it. This time it's more like vindication, right? That like this team was so slept on to see them do it. It's more like, yeah, like we're gonna soak it in. But bro, it's gonna happen.
And I say I'm going with Jalen as my MVP. I think he's the guy that is the difference maker at the end of the day. We'll go with defensive MVP. I will start because Hassan Reddick.
What about take your guy?
Right.
Nope. Hassan Reddick has been the man, the myth, the legend this season. I think he's every bit of the guy they wanted him to be here and more. I think he's gonna put on for his city. He's gonna put on for his city. He's playing on another level that nobody is right now. Look how fast that man is firing off the ball, bro. He wants it.
Yo, I'm unconventional. I'm going Fletcher Cox, man. I think that Fletch ends up digging back into the crates and having a real disruptive game to be able to offset that 49ers running game. Him, Hargrave, them boys, Jordan Davis, they get busy in the middle. But I think you're going to see Fletch make some impact plays in that running game that's going to ultimately shift this in the first half.
Now, I was going with an old favorite, my boy BG. I think Brandon Graham is going to handle his motherfucking business this game. It's just like a feeling you have because just the way things been going and he shows up in big games. And I was going to say Josh Sweat, but I'm feeling Brandon Graham this game. I think Brandon Graham, especially with his familiarity with Trent Williams,
I think Josh Sweat has the potential for a good game, but he's gonna get the Trent Williams treatment, bro. And like, Josh is good. At the best, you hoping to get a couple presses at that point. Like, we put that out the way. You already named all the pigeons. The rest of that offensive line, a bunch of pigeons, right? And so like, attack them boys. Get on. Every quarterback crumbles with pressure. They start seeing ghosts. They start making bad
pressure bust pipes. But you look at it as both of those guys have had success against Trent Williams when he was with the Commanders/Redskins.
True.
So it's like when you look at it, that's why it's like BG because of the familiarity with Trent Williams and they're not going to give Trent Williams some help because they don't think he needs help.
Yeah.
So that's why I was like, I think Brandon Graham is going to put him on notice. And whoever else lines up over there is going to put them on notice that you need to get this man some help.
I'm going to go through the comments there. We got Pete with Hassan, defensive player, defensive MVP. We got Douglas Michael with the BG.
Elena with the CJ. Hey man, we need a big game for Molly. She says Josh Sweat. Mike Love says Reddick as well.
Say who?
We got a Sue from Bruce Banner. Strip sack that's gonna make Purdy shaking his boots. Sue defensive.
Man, we are not disrespecting the 49ers. We just know that we see what we see from this team. There's a time and
there's a time fan, and a place for disrespect. Just not now.
Well, I'm just saying there's a time and place for Eagle fans. Like, you've seen enough bad football. So when you see something great, you realize it's pretty damn good. This is a good team. And to echo what Hollis said earlier in the show, this front office did a phenomenal job just putting this team together.
Speaking of phenomenal job, what the hell happened to Mal?
You know, he disappeared, man. He disappeared.
I know, abracadabra.
Into the ether.
There he is. What the hell you over there doing, man?
No, I mean, the front office has done a great job just assembling this team.
Yeah,
I couldn't make, you know, when they make a move so good that you like,
damn.
Were you in my DMs? Were you, you know, in my texts? Were you reading my mind, Howie? So I think, like, man, this team was a good day. This is one of the best teams we've seen.
Without a question. I mean, do you think so? As we're closing out, I think we go back and forth, and I hate comparisons for the most part. But when you look at the championship team 2017 versus this team, who do you think is the better team? We'll get away from what happened and like the good breaks that led to a Super Bowl win. But when you compare the two rosters, which of those two teams which one would you take?
I mean, this team is sick right now, man. This team is sick.
This team is sick. If they have to win a title though for us to compare,
right?
Compare them to that team. Right. But as they go on this journey, I think this team had the most depth and the less injury. The other team had way more injury, and it was just like one of those seasons where you just knew it wasn't magical or nothing because they was going out there and getting it done. It's just the next man up principle, and they were truly great. It was like, but we got depth now, and we're using it to our advantage. So no guy is tired. So you're getting that good depth, and you're getting good quality play out of each and every guy that you put in there because he knows that somebody else is waiting to take some of them reps from him if he doesn't put out.
So, and it could have 22 starters back too.
And something you said too is like that 2017 was almost like magical, right? That it's like Foles comes in and plays outstanding, and then they got to adjust. It's like all of these things happen, and then the Super Bowl and the Earth diving catch and Clemens and like the BG strip sack, like all of these things happen. But with this, like, this is a dominant football team. And of course, if they win the championship, we make the comparisons then.
When they win it, right?
When. But, like, I look at this roster, like, just even starting the season, this is why I was all in on 20-0. Because if Jalen took an incremental step forward, this is going to be a hard team to beat. He took 40 steps forward, right? And so, like, that puts this team in very exclusive positioning. We got the 49ers, the Bengals, and the Chiefs left. One of these four teams is finna win a Super Bowl, bro. Why the heck can't it be us?
Now, Shay in the comments says, reading the 49ers page and they still stuck on the Commanders game. They think we can't stop the run. They clearly haven't watched after week 8. And Helena with a nice point. She says, didn't we get Sue and Joseph plus Davis back?
Yes, we did.
So it is what it is.
Yeah, she's correct. And they can look at that all they want to, but when we got those guys.
And Mark asks, what did Hollis do with Evan and Prime?
That's what I was reading.
He put him in the bathroom.
It stopped me. I put him in the bathroom. It was my nerve. I was getting tired of El DeBarge and Michael McDonald.
Michael McDonald.
You're my reason.
Key for key. Yeah, no. I got you.
This man proud, so.
Though, before we get out of here, just want to give a big shout out to Conchi Bakery. Yes, they have been doing the Lord's work. I hit them up. I said, "Yo, I need a face. I need the face of Sirianni when he was like, you know, making it. They made that. They put it on a pie already. So you talk about practicing. They practice pies before we put them out. Like, So they've already been working out there at Conshohocken Italian Bakery in Conshohocken.
Yes, sir.
So they've been putting in work. Shout out to Bud Light, man. Last week, Bud Light showed up to the tailgate. We gave out 2 tickets to the game. I didn't know they were going to give out 2 tickets. They gave out a signed Slay, Darius Slay jersey as well. And brought collector's Eagles tailgate koozies to give out. So shout out to Bud Light.
Is that a koozie?
Everybody loves some koozies, man.
I don't know why. Well, I do know why now, because you can't be outside with an open container.
There you go. You know, you get one of these. I have 30 left. And then we're done.
Are you trying to corner the market on Wilson John koozies?
Yeah, try to get me some more koozies.
I'm actually for a friend.
Oh, you need a koozie?
No, not really. It's not going to be in my hand that long.
Okay. Nice.
It's going down. All we need to stay is, I'm not going to babysit. What are you making concessions for? I feel like if I'm going to get drunk, why fuck around?
I keep getting this question. Shout out to Mr. Walker. Is Avante Maddox playing Sunday? It's still up in the air.
I think it's kind of up in the air because he practiced partially today in a little participation. If he fully practices tomorrow, probably. If he fully practices tomorrow,
if he gets a full in, it's a good chance. Because if y'all saw the video, I mean, he looked good. Good making the cuts. Didn't seem to be, you know.
The one thing, Mal, about that look good making the cut is like nobody was.
Ain't no contact.
Ain't no contact. And there's nobody looking to do what I like to call ill will upon him to make him,
Yeah, Ryan's saying he thinks he's playing.
I think he gives it a go.
Yeah, you know what? And I think he gives it a go too. But it's only one thing that it's one thing that I think he may think about. He may think about just coming back for the Super Bowl. Although this is an important game, the Super Bowl would be more important because if you come and fuck yourself back up and have a setback. So,
I think the same way that we do, bro. It also, that Super Bowl ain't guaranteed, right? And if you could give it a go,
you gotta do what you can
out there.
That is true. And we have 2 weeks. You have two weeks for the Super Bowl. So,
Shout out to Jordan. He says, "See you guys Sunday. Go Birds." Last time I saw Jordan, he was standing on a cooler.
He's wishing on a star.
He was in a moment. I was like, "You are going to break the cooler." I had to drag him down. I don't even know if he knows if I dragged him down, but I was like, "You're going to break the cooler."
Pick up the pieces.
Jordan was having a moment.
Pick up the pieces.
The crowd is going to be unhinged. Debo poured that gasoline on the fire. I do believe so.
I don't even understand why you even do that.
Why you even say that? Yeah.
You gain, you know what I mean? Like what do you gain?
You gain absolutely nothing. You know what he gained? He gained every time he touched the ball, everybody in stands is going to fucking boo.
Yeah.
Now, Donnie says Purdy hasn't left the West Coast. He's about to fold when he sees how we act in them stands. Boy, about to melt. I haven't wanted to see an East Coast West Coast battle since Biggie and Tupac. this is the battle.
Both of those guys are dead. I kind of want to go.
Biggie and Tupac.
This is Fourth and John podcast.
Hey, Biggie or Tupac. Who are you picking?
Well, it was an East and West Coast battle, but it ended in bloodshed.
I know. We're just talking about music. You take it in the hole.
Biggie all day, man. I'm an East Coast dude, bro. It's only one answer for me.
Okay. Oh, Tank, Biggie or Tupac?
I was always a Tupac guy.
Wow. Okay.
But a lot of people don't know Tupac was from like right down there in Baltimore, though.
Yeah.
He was out in North, too. That's how he got cool with all the Gaddafi and all of them.
Yeah.
I didn't know Tank was a Tupac guy.
Well, I like Biggie too, but I was like, when you listen to the rhymes and styles of Blase Blase.
Shout out to my coworker, Danny.
I just like the fact that Tupac didn't give a fuck and put motherfuckers on notice. Like, you don't get to say something about me. Shut the fuck up. Don't put, keep my name out your mouth. The only way to keep my motherfucking name out your motherfucking mouth is to keep your motherfucking mouth shut. Okay. Mystical.
Okay.
Mr. Kyle.
Okay. I was going to tell my Tupac story, but I don't know. I don't, maybe I'll pass on that one.
I did meet Biggie at a hair show here. And when I first got to Philly,
Mark says Gail went Biggie to it. Yeah, we went. Todd, yeah,
no, just you just went there. I didn't want to bring that. I didn't want to bring.
We were talking musically. okay, musically. You know, you always say Thug Life West Side all the time.
I know, but you never heard me say the part where fuck Biggie, fuck Bad Boy, fuck Puffy, and fuck Bad Boy as a staff of record label and the crew. If you're down with Puffy, if you're down with Bad Boy, then fuck you too. Chino XL, fuck. Oh, see, you never heard me say that.
If you want to stop dancing around in all the videos, bro. Mark says yeah, love Puffy, love them both.
Puffy.
Helena says Biggie.
Well, no, it's one of those things where you can't go wrong with your answer.
No, Pete says Tupac. Cal says Biggie. Wow.
What if I said Eric B and Rakim?
Okay. I'm with you. And then Mr. Michael goes with the RZA, like.
Okay. Inspect the deck. RZA. Oh, my bad. RZA is my dog.
RZA wasn't even the best in Wu-Tang, though, bro.
Well, no, he wasn't, but he knew how to put that shit together, though.
Yeah, by the time people get to the end of this podcast, they're like, what happened? What happened? What happened? Hey, man, it's a very controversial topic.
Is it Helene? I hope I'm saying her name right, but good point, because Black Thought clearly is one of the best MCs in the game, hands down.
Yeah. What they do.
So like as we get to the end of this podcast, first of all, I just want to shout out Evan Hollywood Hearn for all his work on the cheesesteaks. This dude is feeding a ton of people out there, doing the Lord's work.
He's feeding enough people he's feeding them until y'all run out of food.
And then shout out to Alex. Mr. Levine, he's making pulled chicken and mac and cheese.
Exactly.
Shout out to Prime, who actually threw somebody out of the tailgate, who was a thief who's trying to look in people's cars.
Stealing?
Some rando. Not part of the tailgate. Somebody
put them in the bathroom.
But shout out to those guys. They'll be around. But last word before
showing up, Prime. I hope you score high bowling.
Yeah, hopefully he bowled. What's a good bowling score?
200.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That is what it is. Hey man, I know we went extended, but it is one of the last tailgates before the NFC Championship. Want to do?
Yep.
Just get everything out on the table. I know we've been thinking clearly. We'll start with the last word. Mal, you want to go first?
Yeah, sure, bro. Last word is do your job, right? Show up, do your job, take care of business. This isn't the week to get pretty. This isn't the week to get fancy. Exactly. Do your job. Get on to the next game. Got 2 weeks to prepare for whoever wins out of the Bengals and Chiefs. But do your job, bro. That's all. Mm-hmm. And go Birds.
Well, we all must do our jobs, especially the fans coming out and doing they do. And those of us who'll be watching at the crib, rooting everybody on, kind of like Mal said, don't get cute. Don't get fancy. You know what you got to do. Go out there and handle your business, so we can take it to the SB. It'll have a great party. The city wants a party. We need a party. We need this. We deserve this. Don't get cute.
Yeah, play that grimy ball. That's it. Dominate the trenches, bro. It always comes to the trenches. Every game is settled in the trenches, man. So who want the trenches more? And that's going to be who win this damn game, bro.
My last word, I got almost two last words, but check us out tomorrow at a good day, Philadelphia, 6 to 10 a.m. We'll be hanging out. I don't know how long everyone will be hanging out, but we'll be hanging out there early, trying to get you all Eagle fans pumped up, man. It's called a pep rally for a reason. So trying to get some pep in your step. My last word is, man, Eagle fans, show up, man. I mean, as Eagle fans, that's the least you can do. Make sure that stadium is wild, so Purdy will look pretty damn bad. So I think overall, you know, I saw that comment. You know, the standard is the standard by Todd. Yeah. Jalen has set that tone. I think he leads by example. I think as Jalen goes, his team goes, and I definitely see a big W on this weekend. I wouldn't say it if I didn't believe it. We've been following this team from preseason to the likes of Detroit to Arizona. Right. To the mountaintops. We've been following this team a long time, and this Eagles team has made us proud and made us loud in the stadiums. But we'll see you guys in the next one. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly.
Go Birds.
Go Birds.
Go Birds. Hey, Evan, where you at? Make sure you bring them cheesesteaks.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.